Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Thanks for coming back to hear the second episode of Janine Garofalo's Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. Check out the first episode. If you haven't heard it, you can get it at judygold.com/killmenow.
Got bed face? You should get Bedface. Bedface is an online bedding brand that creates the best damn sheets on the internet. They offer high quality cotton bedding in 24 mix and match colors with 28 million possible combinations so you can make your dream bed. These sheets are so soft and beautiful. The Bedmaker tool online lets you visualize and dream your set before you buy it. It'll match your wallpaper. It could match your fish tank. It could match your skin color. It could match your lover's skin color. Whatever you want. Bedface backs all products with a no questions asked 100 night guarantee. So basically, use your sheets for 100 nights. If you're not into it, they'll give you your money back. No questions asked. They work directly with their makers to pass the savings along to you. So they're like the farmer's market of high quality sheets. Shop bedface.com and use our promo code JUDYGOLD for 20% off your order. Definitely try this. It's really worth it. They sent Judy and I some. I've been sleeping in them and I feel better every day waking up in those sheets. Shop bedface.com and use promo code JUDYGOLD for 20% off. Bedface.com, Judy Gold, 20% off. Try these sheets and tell me they're not the best sheets you've ever had in your life. What are you waiting for? Get on it, Bedface.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Miss Judy Gold.
Your disillusionment with quote unquote showbiz. Do you?
I'm not disillusioned with showbiz.
No, I'm all right. That's the wrong word. Let's say it's a turning point of
in-your-face reality? Was it the Jerry Maguire? How did that affect you?
That actually has been mythologized, what happened with Jerry Maguire. That actually, no, that doesn't. That's the norm. But I see, as I got older, I realized the
reason. Right, so what was the first thing?
Oh, that happened early when I realized that I was very lucky. Honestly, like from the beginning.
Because I feel like men don't think they're lucky.
I'm sure. No. I think there's plenty who do. There's some that maybe don't admit to it. But there's plenty of men I know who feel like, oh wow,
Right, because they're friends with you, mm-hmm. and you can't be friends with you and be a bullshit artist. That is one thing. But I'm saying you know here you are.
I know what you're saying. There's a number of things. It wasn't Jerry Maguire. Yeah. Because that actually is the way it works, contrary to Charlize Theron's
thing.
And
we should explain.
Renee Zellweger was great in it. Now, it was a thing, and as it turned out, you know how people don't always communicate with each other behind the scenes? Mm-hmm. One person wants you for something they don't really share with you that the person who matters most doesn't want you for something.
Right.
So a lot of information doesn't come to you until after the fact.
Right.
So, yes, I did lose some weight and stuff and thought I was in the running. It turns out I was never really as much in the running as at the time I was told I was. But actually, more disillusioned, you know, the Fight Club. I was cast in that, and then I was dismissed. Now, there's a myth that I left that of my own accord. That is not true. Before it even started shooting, Edward Norton felt I wasn't a good enough actor. And so David Fincher deferred to him because Edward Norton and he were developing the script.
Right.
Based on the book, The Fight Club by
Chuck Palahniuk. And how did that affect you?
It hurt me terribly.
Right.
I had offered, can I do an audition with him? No. Now, then he had wanted Courtney Love to do it. They were dating at the time, and Brad Pitt said no. Mm-hmm. They agreed on Helena Bonham Carter, who I'm a huge fan of, and she's wonderful.
Yes.
Now, I wish it didn't go down that way. I think she's great, and I probably would have been very unhappy on a set where I wasn't wanted.
Right.
And it would have been probably something where I was fired after it started, which would have been far worse for me.
Right,
but I do wish I had been given the opportunity to try.
Right.
But absolutely. Helena Bonham Carter is fantastic, and she, you know what I mean? And I hear working with David Fincher can be difficult. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And also, Ed Norton, who I think is a wonderful actor, he still to this day will avoid eye contact with me.
Really? Because
he lives near me, and we have some mutual friends. I don't know him personally.
Right.
And by all accounts of my mutual friends, they love him. He's a great guy. And I do think he's a wonderful actor.
And would you be willing to just go, hey, Ed?
No. Actually, Brad Pitt apologized to me. He didn't even need to. Great guy. He didn't need to. I saw him once, and he said, I want to say I'm sorry about what happened. I didn't know that was going on, and I'm sorry about what happened. I was like, oh, it's fine. Like I said, I think I would have been very hurt by the machinations of politics on that set because I wasn't wanted there or fired, which happens all the time to people.
Yes.
So that was a bummer, but I have come to have these moments of realizing how unfair sometimes, and again, this is an elective, this goes on in everybody's line of work, in everybody's vocation, no matter what you do, there are unfair things that happen. So it pertains to this business, but this is the only job I can tell
business,
you about.
But in this business, you know, the unfair could be your eye color or your, you know, what haircut you have.
In the same thing, looks count in almost every line of work, whether people admit to it or not, and stuff like that.
What was your first big, you know, your biggest, I just want to know the first huge disappointment that taught you, whoa.
It happened being with CAA. I should have never left my agent and gone to CAA. Why they even had one of the guys woo me, and then I died there.
That's what happened to me. You go to a big agency, mm-hmm. and they don't, you know.
They were actively not. They believed I was a has-been. You know, it was all over. And then finally, one of the junior agents took pity on me and said, you must leave. My low self-esteem fit in perfectly to their plan, I believed. They believed I was a has-been. I believed it. That's my fault, you know.
And you're a comic.
I just stayed there.
That's not your fault.
Because I believed when they said, nobody will hire you, that kind of thing.
Right.
And the first thing you should do when somebody says nobody will hire you is leave that person. That
right.
But when you feel that seems to be
correct.
That's
how I left a manager who said, you know, no one wants you.
Most managers and agents say that to people because they don't feel like being proactive. That's not what managers
and agents
do. They don't
want
to do the work.
There's one person, mm-hmm. I guarantee you, in this town mm-hmm. who wants me, you know? It's so, like, to hear that, it's so...
And that's just... managers and agents, for the most part, because there's some great ones, but for the most part, they are in the business of answering the phone, not picking it up. And that's why when there's heat on people, they are rolling calls.
Rolling calls.
It's very easy. But they don't like to be proactive, and they also don't like to take any responsibility whatsoever for anyone's career.
Unless it goes really well.
They're fine with that, but never the other way around. But most people are like that. Now, again, having said that, CAA taught me painful. It was a horrible place to be for someone like me. They don't deal with people that aren't hot. That you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they deal with mega stars. So there was no reason to have signed me. I don't know.
So
and,
you
and
left
there was no
CAA.
Reason for me to have left my agents at the time, Gersh, and now I'm back with them, and they took me back, thank God. And then I went to UTA where I died. Nobody believed in me there. Why was I there? Why did it happen again?
Yeah, was it a manager that said, let's go to UTA?
No, there was one person who seemed to be vaguely interested, and I had left CAA and I was desperate, and this person seemed like they were interested in me, and it turned out apparently they weren't. You know what I mean? Things change. It's just one of those
have
things.
Have you had managers or one person?
I've been
who
with Dave Rath and Carl Welker since since they were managers.
Yeah.
And, you know, originally Dave Rath was a doorman at the Improv.
Oh,
and Carl
God, I remember
was Rick Messina's
assistant. I know. I love them.
So I've been with them about 30 years. You know what I mean? Like, they are my managers and my friends.
I love them.
And I have been now with David DeCamillo. He's great. And Samantha Chalk and my team at Gersh. They were my first agents in the early 90s. And then at the end of the 90s, in some stupid move that and I'm not usually susceptible to that kind of thing, I went to CAA thinking just for the sake of a change or something. And
well,
then
you think that
and
they're going to move you up.
Well, I don't know. I believed the nonsense I was told, and I shouldn't have.
So you
even
have
though
known.
I had great agents, that's the weirdest part. It was almost like shooting myself in the foot for no reason. And then you did it again. Went to another agency that couldn't have cared. Could never get. Never did they answer when I called. The assistant was clearly told to say they are in a meeting because it was immediate as soon as you, after your name and there was never a time when they would take the call,
and it's
that's
so,
when you should know you should leave, and it's your own fault when you don't. And Gersh is not like that.
But had you not gone, you might have always asked, oh, what if I had gone to this agency?
I might have, but it just was a stupid, and it hurt the feelings of very devoted friends and agents, you know, who were kind enough to allow me back in.
Well, yeah,
there was no reason to leave, and it was, and also I took 2 years off to work at Air America, which was also then saying, oh,
we
I want to be an actor again.
I
love Sam
Segal. I know.
The greatest.
We just had him on. We talked about you a lot.
He's the greatest.
The greatest guy.
He is
and
one of the greatest people. Smart,
smart,
funny.
Funny,
yep.
Gorgeous.
Yep. He is gorgeous. He's so handsome.
Elisa, my partner, is like, oh my God, Sam's on.
No, he is. He's,
he's
very
so handsome.
Handsome. He has no idea
I know.
That he's handsome.
Hey, boss, how's it going?
So, you know how every time I go home, I immediately take off my bra.
Yeah.
And my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And my pants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
it's kind of a little ritual.
Like, the first thing I want to take off is my bra.
Yeah.
You're
amazing at it, too. Like, one-handed.
Thank you.
Boom.
Yeah, I'm really good. Because, you know, I'm a lesbian. So I've taken other people off as well. Anyway.
I learn from
is,
you every day.
Thank you. And I have some, like, really fancy bras, you know? But I have to tell you, I got this Third Love bra. Okay, can I just tell you something? It's like a T-shirt. I don't even need to take it off. I take off my shoes, my socks, and my pants. And I leave my bra on. It's like I'm not even wearing anything. It's great because, you know, in the spring when you go through all your drawers and you're like, oh, I've been wearing this bra for 4 years and it smells and it has, like, sweat stains on it.
And the underwire's all popping out.
Yeah. This thing is so fucking comfortable, I can't even tell you. It's called Third Love. For 30 days, you can start a free trial right now. You go to thirdlove.com/killme. And... thirdlove.com/killme. And I'm telling you, it is the most comfortable bra I've ever owned.
You know, when I read about the Rob Cohen thing.
And there's many Rob Cohens. This is the one who's 6'4" with a son named Rocket. He has a baby boy named Rocket Cohen.
Rocket Cohen. I had a different take. So you had thought you fake married him? Or...
Yeah, we thought we got married all in fun. Right. And apparently, I don't recall this because I was very drunk. We signed some papers or something.
Right.
When but his lawyer, I think, didn't need to make an issue of it. Right. But there's billable hours.
Right.
So there was no reason to tell the lawyer about it. I had urged that that not happen because others that got married, with his inside papers, have been married and divorced thrice-fold since then with nary a issue. There's no reason to have mentioned it. But I guess they felt they wanted to mention it. And there, of course, the lawyer was happy to spend time looking for these papers, which somehow materialized.
Okay.
Then we had to have it dissolved by notary public. Then the lawyer lost the papers. Mm. Then we had to have it dissolved again. Now, right after we did that, 20 minutes after we had it dissolved the first time, just coincidentally, we were doing a Ben Stiller reunion show at the Paley Center.
The Paley Center.
And
in New York.
Literally walked from the Notary Public to do that. And one of the press people asked a question just like, are there any funny stories you can share after all these years? And I said, well, we just got our marriages and we didn't know we were married. Huh? Right. Nothing was made of it at that time. Then it got picked up somehow by press and stuff like that. And Rob was so mad at me. Mm. So mad at me. I think because his wife felt hurt.
Right.
So he didn't know who to be mad at. Didn't want to be mad at her. So he just got mad at me. And, you know, both of us were laughing about it at the time.
Right.
I respect him a great deal. I love him. And he can be mad at me if he wants. But every time
how
I talk about it.
How many years after?
Well, 10? We got married in the early 90s. We were married 20 years.
Okay.
We didn't know it. We didn't know it.
Yeah.
No, he still is angry when I bring it up because his wife doesn't like the story.
Do you?
But it's so funny to me. I don't feel like anybody should feel weird about this story.
You know what? How it affected me? You know, I've been a gay rights advocate for many, many years. And when
I know how it
is. Are you talking about how the easiness of which
the fact that, that you were married, had no idea, and it was legal. And
although I have my doubts, I feel this lawyer was pulling some shenanigans.
I'm just saying, it just as an example.
I agree with you.
And, you know, to me, it was just another indication of these GOP. Senators,
it's a fake issue for them,
right? It's the sanctity of marriage.
That's,
you know?
But you know they're bullshitting, right? That there is no this effect. It doesn't have any effect on anyone's marriage. The divorce rate, no matter who you are, where you come from, is high.
All the religion,
infidelity is everybody.
Rampant.
Everybody's.
But you know these two women who were at Disney World with their kid.
Yes.
You know this story,
yes.
And she had a stroke and dies alone in the ICU because the nurse won't let her. Where's the rage? I mean, I'm enraged.
There is, Judy. There is. It's just that the mainstream media doesn't tend to show it to you. But as passionate as you are right now, it is there. You're not the only one.
I'm also passionate about feminism and abortion rights.
Reproductive justice. That's what it is. It's human rights. Feminism, gay rights, it's all human rights.
Right. It's all the rainbow is human rights.
Yes, yes.
I suggested to a friend of mine who makes docs the other day, you know, I remember my mother, may she rest in peace. All right, so she died last June at 93. Mm-hmm. She was pro-choice. That was a big issue with her. I was just in Florida having lunch with Sandy Toll. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of women in their 80s, educated, Jewish, and talking about the election and how important, you know, these women's rights are. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why don't we do a documentary with these 80-year-old women who have had abortions, who saw their mothers bleeding on the couch, who are, you know, were there when it was illegal. And then my friend's like, oh, I'm sure it's been done.
But that doesn't mean there can't be another one.
Yeah.
But it's like fine. Nothing
it's
we
fine.
Do.
A you, good you, message
I feel like
enough.
You can't argue with an old lady, you know, really, but it
but
doesn't.
But you're giving credit to the other.
Yes, I'm giving credit
that some of these things are beliefs held
right,
by.
Right, right,
now, there's
right.
The cynics and the suckers. I'm talking about the cynics right now. The cynics who are in the mainstream message of the right wing.
Right.
They don't care. They would avail themselves of reproductive justice at the drop of a hat. And also, pro-life, pro-death penalty, pro-war, pro-torture, pro-gun.
I know.
So have no right to say, unless you walk it like you walk the walk.
Don't you feel like, what do you think of this new feminism of, okay, I'm going to talk like a guy, or I...
That's not new. And it's nonsense. Feminism is one thing. Human rights, equality. That's right, it.
That's
it's
what
not,
I believe.
It's not different.
I believe that.
But there are some people that subgenre it. And
right.
It. But it really, at its core... and then a lot of times people
but
say...
But I think it does it injustice. It doesn't do it justice when you're saying, I'm a feminist because I'm going to talk about getting fucked in the ass.
Well, no. That's just... as lame as saying it's empowering to take your clothes off.
Right.
That's not new. That's lazy.
Right.
That's just a lazy trope.
Right.
And somebody who feels a little bit guilty about what they're doing.
Right.
And usually feminism means that you don't tell me what to do.
Right.
That's usually when somebody's defending
right.
something that does fit into bowing down to the patriarchy
right, exactly.
and the male gaze, G-A-Z.
Right.
That's never going to change. That's been going on since time immemorial.
Well, forget it. Shakespeare.
You know, there is no end of people that will claim it's empowering to be nude, or that they just wanted to conquer their
right.
fears, and so they were. It's just lazy talk from people justifying right. something they feel vaguely guilty about, that they know at the core is a little bit.
Yeah, it's just enrages me.
Right, but you don't get so angry about this stuff. You just
this is what my mother would say, Judith. Why do you get your blood pressure up?
Uh-huh.
Everything. I'm like, it's not fair and blah, blah.
Well, there's
Judith.
Plenty of things to get your blood pressure
Why
up
Why do you
about.
Get your blood pressure up? So it's just, I don't know.
No, I hear you. And I can lose it sometimes, but I have learned that it is of no value sometimes.
Well, I learned that also from Gloria Steinem, who is never nonplussed.
She is cool
as a
cucumber.
She is nonplussed. Yeah. I mean, she is always nonplussed.
And Katrina Van Den Heuvel and people like that.
And
Sam.
Just, yes. And
they
Sam.
Don't get emotional.
Right.
And they say what needs to be
really,
said.
Really, that's interesting. Well, and blah, blah, blah.
When
blah.
I was on Air America, I would cry and get so upset at these lies and at this cruelty
right.
and all the nonsense from the right wing.
What
and
are you
that.
Getting your blood pressure
And
so
the thing
much,
is,
Janine.
Though, the point is because like anyone who cares about things, even if it doesn't seem to affect you,
right.
doesn't mean you shouldn't care about
right.
it. And the injustice of it is troublesome to
right.
you.
Right, right.
So I hear you. I understand you. But what I... learned from watching Sam is not that I can do it, but that's why he's a better person
right.
as a broadcaster. He can get the information out right. there without crying.
Well,
you know
I just
I mean?
Went
like,
on.
And people can hear it
right.
and listen to it.
But he loves it when I go on and start screaming.
He loves getting people wound up.
Right, about Donald Trump and screaming.
It.
And he's like, oh, I loved it. It was great.
And he loves when right-wingers call in and
right.
try and challenge
oh, yeah.
him. That, he's in his element because he is cooler
right.
than Stein.
I
you know.
Know
what I mean? And he manages to get every bit of information while
right.
taking shots at them and they don't even
right.
know
and
it.
And I love it.
And he's brilliant. But... that's the difference between him and you and I.
Right.
I cannot keep a lid on it.
Same.
And I cannot get through it to get to point B.
Right.
I get so upset.
Right.
I think both sides are important. And to hear both of those
I actually disagree with
that.
I disagree with that, too. Let me elaborate on that. There isn't two sides to every story. There's two sides to lots of stories, but there isn't two sides to the story of slavery and
right.
The suffragette story and homophobia or misogyny.
Holocaust.
That's not.
I agree with
there's
that.
There's not another side
to that. I'm saying the two deliveries of both.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant that so you could hear out the right
way.
So,
no, so you can hear the emotion in your voice when you deliver this story and then hear the coolness and the things in between the emotion.
I don't know,
voice.
Though. I think people get turned off by sometimes if you start
hysteria.
Getting loud.
Yes,
and stuff
but
like
some
that.
People get more worked up by it. It's like Martin Luther King led by, hey, we're going to be quiet and just sit here until they kick us out and then they'll see that. You know, it was more peaceful.
But there was far more
but
to it
Malcolm
than
Malcolm X. Led, had more emotion.
Yeah, but
so
Martin
pride.
Luther King, you hear him speak. He had.
That's what I'm saying. It was done with a person who was captivating,
right,
and who spoke in a way that you could not deny,
right.
You could not feel something,
right.
Even if you felt the worst impulses, no one wasn't moved in
right.
some way by this person. That's extraordinary.
Right.
But I just want to argue
that's
this point for a second because. I'm wondering if when you...
But I hear what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying.
I do
great,
think
because we're sitting right next to each other.
Hey, everyone hears.
No emotion, I think, does, you know, maybe...
No emotion. Just not the yelling and crying that
right.
Judy and
the
I
different,
are
I mean, there is right. emotion in talking like this.
Right.
There is a
right.
lot.
Like
right.
Sam is talking
yes.
like a person. He's just what I mean is he doesn't cry and get angry and...
But I wonder if some people can hear... the crying and the laughter and recognize that's the only way that they recognize how serious it is. I think that there's some, you know, people who just have not, maybe don't have the same way of thinking, where you're thinking calmly and you're listening calmly. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily. We're raised with very specific ideologies based on our parents and our environment and mm-hmm. whatever. If I hear someone crying, I might be in a place where I needed to hear someone crying in order to hear what they're saying.
It could be, but the message can also be lost in that emotion.
Right.
And
definitely,
like when
it's
you see
guaranteed.
Somebody crying on the right. Or you know, it seems maudlin, or like a politician, or Jimmy Swaggart crying.
Right,
I met
right.
a woman.
You know what, really?
But you see Obama crying after right. another school shooting, and it
right.
It,
right.
But
also,
it wasn't
it's because
hysterical.
It was unusual, and it's unusual.
And
to
it wasn't
that emotion,
a hysterical.
Hysterical
cry.
Is a terrible
all
word.
Right, I'm gonna say
no,
something.
I know. Not hysterical as in hysteria of the womb, misogynistic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was so out of character for him to show that kind of emotion. And also, he cries, he looks great doing it. You know, some people.
Right.
Look,
and it's real.
Like John Bonair used to cry all the time.
Yeah. And it was just like, yeah. And Hillary cries, and it's, she's.
But also,
awful.
People did pretend to make hay of it. There's also right. these non issues that get trotted
right.
out that people are talking, and people, which
right.
is always. Nonsense. Nobody care. Nobody is thinking this about this, or nobody thinks Bernie Sanders has to throw in the towel now that he asked
right.
his wife not to say. Nobody care. You know what I mean?
They're,
like
right.
these are non-issues that get so that people in the press don't have to do their job.
Bingo.
Okay.
Dad, how can I boost my energy, lose my belly fat, and ease my stress?
Well, I know you don't like to eat vegetables or juice.
I hate vegetables. I hate fruits. I hate blending.
Do you like shopping?
I hate shopping.
Do you like cleaning up?
No, that's the worst.
Right. So, let me tell you something. There's this new thing called Organifi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's organic. It's vegan. It's gluten-free. It's dairy-free. It's soy-free. It's free. It's free. It is free.
Can I get it here in this mall that we're hanging out in?
No, you can't get it here at the mall.
Oh,
okay?
Where can I get it?
Well, you can get it online at www.organifi.com. And if you use the keyword gold, G-O-L-D, that's my last name,
nice.
You're
going to
get 20% off. So what it is it's like the best tasting greens on the market. And it has ashwagandha in it.
Hey, isn't that special ingredient that helps fight the fat storage hormone called cortisol?
Yes, and you know, I just found out from my doctor that my fat storage hormone is so large that I'm renting out storage space for other people.
Well, they're going to be really upset when you start drinking this Organifi juice.
I know. I'm going to have to take all their crap out of my fat storage hormone. But
and
I'll
put
have
it in the toilet.
Right. But I'll have increased energy and improved mental focus.
So let me get this straight. www. By the way, they don't say that anymore.
Oh, I know.
Organifi.com. Use code GOLD and I'll get 20% off of this energy boosting.
Yes, yes. You'll have more energy.
And I don't have to eat fruits and vegetables anymore?
No, you don't have to do anything. You can have that crappy hot dog you just ate on St. Mark's Place, you idiot.
I think I'll go get another one then.
Okay, well, now that you have a very low fat storage hormone, why don't you have five? Now,
what I have to.
I know, please. We're at the end.
We're kicking you out.
You're saying that like you're mad, like I was being unreasonable, Judy. The tone of voice you
but
used
we have
with me.
But we have two things that we do with every guest.
Ooh.
Well,
is
first
it
of all,
is it going to hurt?
No.
It'll feel
first
good.
First of all, the podcast is called Kill Me Now because I say that about 100 times a
right.
day. The Kill Me Now moment I had today was the fact that my PayPal account is suspended because my 14-year-old son, Ben, sold a hoodie on PayPal, took money on my PayPal account
right.
for a hoodie he promised someone and never sent it. And now my PayPal account is suspended
uh-huh.
because he never, like, he's 14. I'm like, Dad.
Did you tell him this? Are you, does he know
I
how
just
upset
did.
You
I
are?
Said,
or does he have to listen to the podcast? If,
No. I told him he's not going out. I said, you're getting, finding, he's like, uh-huh. I don't know. I said, you find it. I will put it in a package and you will go to the post office yourself and
uh-huh.
mail.
Well, how much do you use PayPal?
I never use it. But I don't want...
No, I know what you're saying, but I didn't know whether you're the type of person who's like always, utilizing the sense really.
No, I'm not. You can ask Hennessy. I pay my I am so anal about paying my bills. Mm-hmm.
No, it's very frustrating when people do things like that, no matter what it is, when they say it, when it affects making right. phone calls and right. starting a credit card. Like somebody who, a very simple thing they said they were going to do.
Right.
But the worst is when you confront them and they're like, what? You're out of line somehow.
No, I can't find it now. That's what he says. All right. Yeah. So I need
to
know.
But that's a 14-year-old right. person for you.
What pisses you off the most?
Oh, gosh. Today or in general?
In general. What is the thing?
I guess today? Willful, prideful ignorance and I guess all the damage that has been done by since the founding of mainstream media.
Right.
Since there was a printing press to
right.
to print a flyer that
right.
that had misinformation.
Right.
Because it has affected our lives from generation to generation, and it's not going to ever change. It's not
right.
ever, that's never going to change. That's the nature of corporate media. This will never change. Luckily, people have more access to information than ever before, but
right.
also access to disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
I think injustices that go on and on harm me. Like the myth that McGovern was a total failure and mm-hmm. it was a landslide loss. I don't believe that, but mm-hmm. I believe it is in the interest of the mainstream political
right.
machine.
And they keep bringing it
to
up.
To bring it up. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't believe for a second.
I don't. I thought it was close. I remember.
I'm sure. I don't know what it was, but
right.
I don't believe for a second
right,
it was the landslide we were told. I also don't believe Reagan won in a landslide.
Oh, yeah.
There's been nothing but to. You know, George Washington had his minions pay people to vote for him? This is just business, people. This is not tinfoil hat
Did you
time.
Know that George
That's
Washington.
That's the nature of people.
Grew hemp on his plantation.
Oh, that may be fine, but
yes.
what I'm saying is election fraud dancing. is part of
mm-hmm.
it. That, you know, it isn't a conspiracy. Well, conspiracy just means to breathe together in Latin. That word gets a bad rap.
Right.
I also think Julius Caesar was a reformer.
Right.
And that's why he was assassinated, not
right.
a dictator. I'm serious about that. There's others that think that, but I think that too. You don't get assassinated for being by an aristocrat.
Right.
Who wants a dictator for being an aristocratic
right.
dictator. You get assassinated when you are a reformer.
Right.
And that's just one example. I feel through history,
yes.
there are people who have devoted their lives to fighting the good fight who are branded, and there's nothing more powerful than a fixed idea. Once an idea is out there, that is the story.
Right.
And it gets handed down. And that's also why Grover Norquist is so... the monument product
right.
name everything after Bush and Reagan so that
right.
generations think they were great men who did
right.
great things. That's the whole
right.
point of the monument project and,
yes.
and George W. Bush's library.
Right.
And that upsets me.
There's
greatly.
Four books.
I love that
George
you talk
w.
about
Bush's
this
library.
Stuff wherever
now,
you go. I love
it
and I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Hennessy.
Janine,
thanks for letting me upstairs.
Anytime.
Janine.
Judy.
You have, all right, there's two more questions.
Yes.
You have no computer.
I do not use a computer. People don't believe me, but my boyfriend does have a computer, and when forced, people can send email to him or he will show me things.
How is that? People cannot email you.
Right.
And
but
how
try
is that?
Anyway.
Right. But how is that? Don't you feel a sense of freedom and independence?
It is quite well, because of I'm 52. Most of my life is without this stuff.
That's
as
what
you
I
are too,
say,
so
yes.
it's very natural.
Right.
To me.
To me
I did try and use a computer during Air America. It opened a portal I didn't want to be part of.
Right.
Now, there's many great things that comes with computer. Please don't misunderstand me. I realize it's the great democratic
right.
medium. I realize all the good that it does.
Right.
It also opens up a world that you don't want to be
right.
part of. And also, there was no surprise to me about the NSA. I don't understand why anyone was surprised. If
mm-hmm.
you can communicate with another, people can see you. If with the OnStar, the early incarnations of the
mm-hmm,
of the
mm-hmm.
thing in your car where a
right.
voice would come on and say,
right,
you've
right,
had
right.
an accident. If they can do that, then you must know. They can listen at any time. That,
right.
that to me, it was like when Lance Bass came out and people, and I don't mean this as a joke, but like, surprise, I'm gay. That didn't seem surprising to me
right.
when Lance Bass came out. That is not me being glib. I'm just saying.
You're right, I get it.
When the NSA stuff, the Chelsea Manning and the Edward Snowden, there was nothing to me about that
right.
that was surprising. And I remember trying to tell friends about that.
Oh, preach.
All the time about, just so you know, I think you should be aware of the camera on your computer and this, that, and the other, and you're on Star.
I feel like I'm being watched all.
Right, and you
and
are.
And I am.
And you are. And that's just the nature of society. I can deal with that. There's nothing you can do about
right,
the
right.
CCTV and all of that. Fine. But the hatred, the vitriol, the nonsense, the cyberbullying, all of that, can't have it in my life. Also, I get easily overwhelmed. I really do. I get easily overwhelmed, and I move towards anxiety very easily.
Me too.
I didn't.
Which is why I don't sleep with it in my room.
Right.
I don't go out to dinner with it.
Well, you have kids. You must be connected in some way.
But
so.
Then I have to throw it. I have to.
Yeah.
We went to France, Elisa and I, for 5 days and didn't. I wanted no service.
Right. Oh, and, I don't. When I go international, yeah. I don't get. I also don't have a smartphone. It's just a regular cell phone. I have it on me today because I thought
me,
I might
I
if there was any problems.
And it's
at
dumb.
But the thing is, you
Piece
have kids. If
shit.
I had kids, I'd have to be
right
on the grid that way. And I'm not off the grid, certainly. Nobody can be,
right.
really.
Right.
Except for
I
those
love
Mormon
that. I love
compound.
That about you.
Oh, no, it's not. It's value neutral, and I'm not doing it in a noble way. I just know me
I
well
just love that because I wish I had the capacity.
And if I had kids, I couldn't,
right.
couldn't
of
do
course.
It. But rarely do I have my phone on me.
Right.
Honestly, but having I do want to be polite when people get in touch with
right.
me, and so I will check my phone at some
right.
point. I will return all calls with
you
alacrity,
do. Yes,
and texts, and you will have to sacrifice if you have no social media platforms, which I don't. There's a fake me tweeting and a fake Facebook.
Right.
It's not me. You will sacrifice asses and seats as a comic.
Right,
I'm willing to do that. That's
right.
absolutely fine for me. You
right.
will have to. People think and all the time people think I will run into somebody who says. Why did you quit acting? Why did you quit doing stand-up? And I always say, I didn't. I just...
it's
not,
so ridiculous
I'm not really,
because
you know
now...
I mean? I'm just not really out there in that way. I don't have a Twitter account and all that kind of stuff. And
now
and
a comic who has 500,000 followers because they did a 3-minute video of themselves
can get
puking
a Netflix,
right,
with
special.
Underwear on their head.
Mm-hmm.
They can, they're booked at all these comedy clubs.
Right.
And yet...
Although that's not... sort of new either. Remember back in the old days of the comedy competition with the Foxes?
Yes, yes, yes.
San Francisco, for 2 minutes, you would win with a 2-minute
right,
set and get
right,
booked in all their
right, right.
stuff.
And I've seen you in more shows in the last few months than, like, I see you work all the time.
I actually don't, but that's very nice. I don't know what you're seeing unless they're reruns.
All
but,
right. All right.
But people do
clubs.
Think, unless you're ubiquitous.
In clubs.
People, and I don't have a way to tell people where I'm performing and stuff like that. So
I'll do it.
But
people
it's
are
worth
speaking
it. I'm free.
For you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Now,
I feel free.
I wanted to talk about your Barbara Walters interview, but we've run out of time.
Oh, my God. That's 100 billion. 1996, right?
2011. Didn't you have another one? Or they repeated it in 2011?
Oh, they must have repeated it. I mean, I was on News Things for the anti-war stuff.
Right,
that's
right,
in the
right,
2000s.
Right.
But Barbara
just,
Walters was, I think, 96?
I know, but you got interviewed by her.
I did, and she kept trying to make me cry over my mom, and I wouldn't do it. Can uh-huh. she? I don't know if you know this, but there was parts edited out where she was saying, so your mother died. And I was like, what? I kept pretending that she was telling me, I didn't know, and she would say, cut. And then
right.
I would say, she would try it again. And then she would say, your mother was very sick. What? When? And she would stop. I wouldn't do it. I don't want to prostitute stuff like that
right.
for her in that, in that milieu.
All right.
And that was, and why do you make yourself look unattractive? That question. And I was like,
oh,
I don't
my
make
God.
Myself.
That
I don't was, know what, that's your opinion. I don't make myself look unattractive.
Oh, my
but
God.
But that, I enjoyed the heck out of that because of that.
It was great.
But it was amazing to say to her, my mom's dead. Like, and
right.
she had no, first of all, she didn't care to be interviewing me. She didn't
right.
really know who I was.
Right.
She was just told to do it.
Right.
And she hated me not allowing her to continue with that line of
right,
questioning
right,
about
right.
the dead mom.
I love it. One final question we ask all of our guests. Are you on any antidepressants?
I am not, but I have found, because I'm not allowed to drink, mm-hmm. and I'm not allowed to smoke pot anymore because I overdo it in both,
right.
I have found a new way to get whacked for a brief amount of time. I do have a bad back, L5-S1,
right.
and I sometimes am given anti-inflammatories because I have
mm-hmm.
a bulging disc for sciatica.
Right.
What I do is I take a pill cutter and take these pills, which
mm-hmm.
is the generic for carisoprobidol,
mm-hmm.
prescription. And I cut them and cut them and cut them until it's like a fine powder. I pour it on my cigarette.
Nice.
That's
Cocoa Puffs.
Wait, and this is a joke, of
wait,
course, and therefore not actionable in a court of law.
Wait, don't you lick the cigarette
no,
under the first?
Yeah,
yes.
I have to make it wet a little bit.
Yes.
But also, if I just leave it sitting in the dust, and then I walk briskly from point A to point B, really getting my arms in it so that I'm winded.
Right.
And smoke that cigarette. I am as... Like when you were a kid and you used to hyperventilate before
right,
you
right,
passed
right.
out. Picture that while smoking the dust of the generic for carisoprobidol.
I want
to
know how you came
wait,
to this
wait, but does it
method?
Get into
it was
your
an
bloodstream?
Accident. It was, no. And it's over very quickly and you're absolutely...
Right.
And also, if I had to, if somebody confronted me even in the moment, they wouldn't know. I
right.
just know that I feel very lightheaded.
I love that.
And very
you know
optimistic.
What I remember from my drug days?
What?
One of my favorite things was... licking the end of my cigarette, mm-hmm. dipping it in cocaine.
I never tried cocaine. Oh. And for no reason. I find, and believe me, for no reason. It just alcohol was
hit.
My thing.
I don't know.
No,
for my
very
kid's
satisfying.
Sake, I only did cocaine once.
No, it's very satisfying to smoke the stuff. I don't
right.
know why.
I love smoking. I just did, I was just in the Woody Allen, the Amazon, and I had
oh
to
my
smoke
God,
a
you
cigarette.
Were?
Yes. I only, it's one scene.
Still.
It was oh, with him, which was great.
You want me to pick that name up for you?
But anyway.
No, that's amazing.
I got to smoke. I was so excited.
You,
but
can, you can smoke
cigarettes.
On Amazon? Oh, yes, those herbal, horrible things. But
it takes place in 1968, so.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. That's wonderful. Awesome. Working with Woody Allen. Really, that's one of those milestones that every comic.
And it was a really funny, where he's, well, I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Right,
but
right.
We have a fight.
And don't talk about it, because in this modern age, what you don't want, it's like worse than the Stasi. Right. Nothing goes undocumented. That's why I can't believe there's ghosts. I won't believe it until somebody has a ghost on their phone. How is it that these people haven't
Well, actually,
seen
our
ghosts?
Next guest is a ghost.
Really?
Yes, the ghost and Mrs. Mew.
Oh, is there? Oh, my God. Edward Mulhare. Or
oh,
Mulhare.
Yeah, yeah.
Such a handsome bearded gentleman.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. Is somebody waiting to go on?
I'm Julie Halston is here.
Holy, I'm sorry.
No, she doesn't care.
I thought you're very easy.
We haven't ended the show yet, so don't worry.
Yeah,
it's not
we're
your
ending
fault.
Now.
Well, what are we sitting
I'm
around
so
here
excited.
For? Let's get this over with. Grandma's got to urinate again.
All right, listen. I can't thank you enough, Janine.
No, Gilf. Thank you.
And you know what's great about the end of this interview? I don't have to say where you are on Twitter. I don't have to
say.
I love it. But you work a lot. You do a lot of stand-up. You work at Eastville.
I'll be at Eastville tonight, actually.
Oh, that's, well, then, yeah. So look on the Eastville website.
Yeah, Eastville says, but Marco will say people are there that are not there just every week. He just has a blanket statement
there. I know. I've been there the past few weeks, and I've been away.
Yeah, he just lists Gaffigan, Judah Friedlander, you, me, whether we're there or not.
Right. So. But you're a delight, and I've always been...
You.
A huge fan and admired you from afar, AFAR. And I have to say, I think this is the least, I've had the fewest amount of curse words on this podcast than ever before.
Really? Then you must really get them in there, because I feel at the top, and it was front loaded at the top with a lot of F-bombs.
I get very overwhelmed, and and my brain is working too fast, and I curse.
Yes, I get overwhelmed, but my thing is to shut down.
Right.
And
but
I can't
you
talk,
never
I can't
curse.
Talk. I try not to. I mean, I do, and I probably have. It's just I
just
don't
say fuck once.
I don't feel comfortable saying that. But, I mean, I do, and I have. It's just that I don't in my real life, so to do it, and believe me, it pops out occasionally, but I don't.
You use it when it's nice and
I guess,
loaded.
Or when it just pops out. I really don't mean it. Sometimes it comes out when I really didn't mean it to, but it just did. And that's the way it is.
And that's the way it is.
Boulder dash.
That's the way it is. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh. Good night and good luck.
Good night. Thank you, Janine.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
This is Kill Me Now with Judy Gold.
This is my...
I didn't finish my intro.
Oh, my gosh, guys. Sorry. You guys are so... Don't fight so much. Don't
all right,
do it.
This I'm a masochist.
Yeah. This
apparently.
Is Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. Okay, Hennessy, go.
This has been my dream come true. Just every woman I love in this room.
It's just a woman's sandwich.
Oh my God!
Actually, not even a sandwich.
I am in a woman bowl of cereal.
A layer cake. A woman layer. No, it's not. It's lateral like cereal.
Yeah. These are the 1, 2, 3, 4 women I would want in my bowl of women cereal. So thank
you
all.
Well, you shouldn't let one of them yell at you so much. Yeah. You shouldn't let one of the pieces of cereal yell at you. So
well,
much.
Maybe
know,
the other pieces should step in and yell at me a little bit more. Hmm?
Yeah. I think Tennessee likes that.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, she likes it.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She's a he. She's a he, actually.
Oh, before Caitlin was cool. Doesn't matter.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not transitioning.
I just thought Hennessy was...
Hennessy
is
my name.
Right, but I assigned it the name of, Hennessy. Like a waspy girl's
name.
But Hennessy is a boy
it's my drag
who
name.
Has, will not get surgery.
Don't be sorry.
A waspy girl name.
All right.
It
listen,
is, kind of.
I got to end this.
Sorry.
You got it. Don't be sorry.
Yeah.
I'm pretty.
Listen,
it's
I love
cool.
you, Janine.
You are. So I thought you were.
I love you.
Oh,
okay, shut up.
Sorry. My dream is coming true right now. I'm sorry.
Check it. Bhavaka Shah.
Hey.
Thank you, Janine. Will you come back?
I will.
Oh, good. All right. I love you.
Thank you. I love you, too.
And I love all our listeners. So thanks for listening, and so long!
Is that an impression of somebody?
That's my mother.
and everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.